Psalm 84 tonight. Psalm 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart, my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even at altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. It's an interesting word in the Bible. It's a pause. It means stop and think about it. So let's read that verse again. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Stop and think about it. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Stop and think about it. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Somebody say amen. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. You can't beat that. Two punch right there. Grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Let the church say amen. Father, bless the preaching of the word of God. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Use this message to be a blessing. Use it to be a blessing to these thy people. Use it to be a blessing to you. And we'll glorify your name as a result of it. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Any designation as to who wrote this psalm is pure speculation. We don't know who the writer was of this psalm. Some say David. Some say it was a Jew after they had come out of Egypt and spent their 40 years in the wilderness. Some even think it was a Jew in Babylon, captive away from Jerusalem. But I will say to you that it really doesn't matter whether it was David, the Jew coming out of Egypt, or the Jew exiled in Babylon. The author, the main author of this psalm is really not what we need to focus on. It's the theme of this psalm that we need to get tonight. We're going to, for sake of discussion, say that it was David that wrote it. Let's imagine David during the time of Absalom. Absalom, his son, sparked an utter rebellion against his father. And during that time, Absalom stole the hearts of the nation of Israel so that the people were following after him. Now imagine, David was God's chosen man, but during the rebellion of Absalom, David, who was king, was not permitted to act as king in the holy city. So the king was on the run. Here and there, and even David himself found himself hiding in places. Why? Absalom was doing his thing, and David was flushed away from the things that he was accustomed to in Jerusalem. As he was away from home, there was something in his heart of hearts that he sorely missed. It wasn't the palace. It wasn't his plush throne. It wasn't the servants that gathered around him at his every beckoning call. It wasn't the sights and sounds in that beautiful city of Jerusalem. It wasn't the hugs and the kisses of his family and his well-wishers. I'm not saying that he didn't miss those things, but in Psalm 84, if David is the author of this psalm, it is not all of those things that he chose to highlight that he missed. It was getting away from Jerusalem and getting away from something that meant something to him in Jerusalem that made David truly value something that he had. Psalm 84, he makes this statement. How amiable are thy tabernacles? The word amiable means pleasant. It means lovely. Here's what David says. I got a son that's acting a fool. I can't live in Jerusalem where I belong. I can't sit on the throne in the palace that's mine. I can't be where I want to be, where I should be, and I can't be where I used to be. But being away from home, there's something in my heart that I miss. There's something in my heart that I wish I had. There's something in my heart that maybe I didn't value as much as I should when I had it. And that is running from Absalom, getting outside of Jerusalem. I cannot go to the house of God. And it bothers me. You know what David was saying in so many words? David was saying, I love church. I love church. And being out of church bothers me. And being out of church makes me appreciate how good it is to be in church. And maybe David was saying, I never realized how good I had it till I couldn't go to the tabernacle. I never realized how good I had it till I couldn't attend the holy day. I never realized how good I had it till I couldn't get down to worship. I never realized how good I had it till I couldn't hear those words of Almighty God. And if ever David could share this thought in his heart, it was now. David said, I love church. And I want to ask you tonight, do you? When you get away from it, does it faze you? When you can't get to it, does it affect you? When you're stuck out of it, does it mess with your mind? I want to share tonight, just very quickly tonight, that I, without apology, want to tell you I love church. And if you love church, I want you to say amen. I love church. What is it, David, that you miss about those tabernacles? And what is it, David, that you enjoy when you get there? What is it, Pastor, that you love about church? What is it that makes you sad when it snows? I'm going to tell you something. Wintertime comes along, and I start looking at the weather early in the week, and I start asking God, if it's going to snow, let it snow on Thursday morning and melt by Saturday afternoon so that we can get in church on Wednesday and back in church on Sunday. Because God, there's just something special about coming in this place. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about meeting with God. I love church. Very quickly tonight. Why? Why, David? Why, Pastor? Why, church member? Number one, church is a consolation for the soul. It's the consolation for the soul. How amiable are thy tabernacles? Oh, he said, when I come here, it's lovely. Amen. When I come here, it's pleasant. Look at verse 2, my soul longeth. Look at verse 2, my soul fainteth. Look at verse 2, my heart and my flesh crieth. Listen to me. Those words, long, faint, cry, are words of passion. I'd like to ask you a question. When you come to church, are you passionate about it? When you miss church, are you passionate about it? Do you long for it? Do you faint for it? Do you cry for it? I don't know about you. Sunday is great, but 3 days later, I need some more church, battling with that devil and fighting that wicked world and battling that ungodly flesh. I need to come into the house of God and know my soul can be consoled. Passion Oh, there was a desire in that longing. There was a desperation in that fainting. There was a certain determination in that crying. I'm asking you, when you're out of church, do you desire to be in church? When you're out of church, are you desperate to be in church? When you're not at church, are you determined to be in church? There was a passion. But ladies and gentlemen, there was a person. Notice verse number 2. My soul longeth, my soul fainteth, my flesh crieth. But I don't want you to miss this. Notice what he said at the end of the verse. I'm not longing for things. I'm not longing for programs. I'm not longing for songs. I'm not longing for activities. Look at it. He says, I'm longing. I'm fainting. I'm crying for the living God. Somebody say amen. Hey, let me tell you something. I think the house of God ought to be kept up. Let me say that again. If you don't say amen, you must be a trash thrower. I said, I think the house of God ought to be kept up. I think the house of God ought to be fixed up. I think the house of God ought to be prepped up. I think the house of God ought to be decorated up. I think the house of God ought to be cleaned up. I think the house of God ought to smell good. I think the people of God ought to want the house of God to be what it needs to be. I think we ought to try to have the best sound system we can have. Try to have the nicest piano we can have. Try to have the best looking pews we can have. Try to paint the building. Try to cut the grass. Try to decorate nicely. Try to make sure things get there. But I want to tell you something. When I walk into church on a Sunday, on a Wednesday, I don't walk in the building and say, oh, I'm so glad to see you paint. I'm so glad to see you pews. I sure did miss you pulpit. Oh, piano. I've been dreaming about you all day long. Flags. Oh, I can't wait to see you every time I come in here. I don't walk in the building and go, carpet, you sure are nice. Bathrooms, I couldn't wait to get back here on Wednesday to see you. Doors, you sure look good. Windows, you're sparkling. Oh, banners, you just look better than you have. No, I want to come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays because in this place is a living God. That's why I love church. I come for a person. I say I come for a person. And it ain't any of you. And you shouldn't come for me. You should come for him. Oh, it's a consolation of the soul. He said, when I come here, my soul is consoled. Number 2, it's not only a consolation for the soul, but church is a catalyst for stability. A catalyst for stability. What do you mean? A catalyst. It's a conduit. It's a means. It's a provision. It's a way by which you can experience stability. Now look at just a moment. Look at just a moment. There are saved people who will never spend 1 second in a devil's hell, will never lose their salvation, are without a doubt indwelt by the Holy Ghost of God. But their Christian lives are every single day unstable because they don't have a proper relationship with the church. I love church. It's a catalyst for stability. Tell us about it, David. I will. The sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. He said, I walk to the tabernacle, and I look up at the tabernacle, and lo and behold, Mrs. Bird has built a nest for little birds at the church. You know what that's telling me? Church is a catalyst for stability in my family. Hey, David said, church is such a stabilizer that even birds want to raise their kids there. Now I want to tell you something, mamas and daddies, and I want to tell you something, grown folk. You want stability in your family, you raise your children in the church. You teach them to be at church, and you teach them to love church, and you teach them not to miss church, and you teach them that nothing comes before church. Why? Long after they can't kick a soccer ball, bounce a basketball, swing at a baseball, and catch a football, long after they can't do the things that they love, they'll still be coming to the house of God and serving Almighty God. I want to tell you why my life is stable today, because I had a mama and daddy that raised me in the church. And there's nobody in this building tonight that goes to church more than I do. I was in church Monday night. I was in church Tuesday morning. I was in church Tuesday night. And I'm in church tonight. And next week I'll be in church Sunday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And the next week I'll be in church Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. I mean, I'm in church a lot. It's not always this church. Sometimes I'm preaching at another church. And in between when you saw me at this church and when you see me again at this church, I was at a couple other churches. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a reason why at 5 a.m, I got up after 3 hours of sleep last night and got a cup of coffee from Sheets and a 5-hour energy and guzzled it down and drove before the sun came up this morning, because I knew that come Wednesday tonight at 7 o'clock, I wasn't going to be in some bed. I wasn't going to be recuperating from revival, and I sure wasn't going to drop on my church some leftovers because I gave the good stuff to the church down in Abingdon. Say, so what you going to do tonight? I'm going to crash. But not until I've left everything in me in this building. You know why? Because I love church. It's provided stability. It's the place where daddy said, you won't miss to play, go to basketball practice. I was sitting in the, Kobe's playing football now, and he really loves it. And we started football, and they started in the summer, and they started in the summer with 5 days of practice, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we had talked with the coach. We said, now, he won't be at practice on Wednesday. So we understand that. After Labor Day, it's going to go to Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. I said, that's awesome. Great. So we got the schedule that came out last weekend. And there was a game this past Sunday. It was at 1:30. So we finished up and we got to the game at 1:30 in between service and got back here and changed up, studied up. But there's a game a couple weeks from now at 10:30 a.m. So me and the coach had a talk Sunday. He said, did you see that 10:30? I said, did you see that 10:30? No, he won't be at that one. I said, he won't be at that one. Amen. So Kobe said in the car the other day, he said, daddy, so if there's ever a game on a Wednesday, could I play in the game? I said, why'd you ask him? He said, Wednesday's Awana. It's not church. I said, oh, for real? I said, where's Awana at? He said, at church. What daddy and mama doing while you at Awana? Going to church. So I asked him a question. If you go to your game while church is going on, what are you saying? He said, that football's more important than church. I said, is it? No, sir. So don't ask me again. See, when you start picking and choosing what you're going to miss for, you got to make a judgment call every time. I remember years ago, I was preaching. I was with Sharon Starling in Florida. She was heavily involved in Christian schools and heading up. You're not supposed to say names in messages, are you? She was heading up leadership conferences in Christian schools in Florida. And I flew into Florida and I was preaching a leadership conference in one end of Florida on Monday and Tuesday, and a leadership conference on another spot in Florida on Thursday and Friday. So in between the two conferences, we traveled on Wednesday. So here I am. I've flown into Florida. They live in Florida. I hop in the car. We drive from one teacher's conference to the next teacher's conference, and we check in Boca Raton at a training facility where we're hosting this next leadership conference, and it's Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock. So everybody says, we're meeting at the Cheesecake Factory at 7. So I'm sitting in a room with no car, and everybody's going to, the people with the car are going to Cheesecake Factory at 7. And I sat there, and I'm going to be honest with you, this is, I don't know, 12, maybe, you know what, maybe 15, 16, 17 years ago. So I'm sitting here in this hotel room, and I'm thinking to myself, the devil said. Now, you didn't preach Monday and Tuesday. You're going to preach Thursday and Friday. I mean, missing Wednesday, you're still ahead of everybody that goes. But the Holy Ghost of God said, but you go to church on Wednesday. So I picked up the hotel phone and I said, I had to go to church. And one of them said, well, they got a non-denominational chapel service down there at the conference center. I said, no, I said, I have to go to church. She said, well, we can share cars and go over to Cheesecake Factory. You can use our car, so you can borrow it and try to find the church. So I called back here to the office and I said, this is where I am. Find out how close I am to good, solid, independent Baptist church. I found out I was about 45 minutes away. So I jumped in the car at 6 o'clock, and I drove over 45 minutes to West Palm Beach to a church that I preached at regularly every year. I walked in a few minutes before service. The pastor said, what are you doing here? I said, I was up Boca Raton, stuck in a room with no car, and I needed to find the church. He said, I'm glad you did. Here's the lapel. You're preaching. I got in the car, drove back that night, and I cried all the way back. I said, God, what a convenient time to compromise. And none of you would have known. You'd have thought I was in church. I'd have been back that weekend, and you'd have said, how was church? And I said, great. And the Holy Ghost would have said, liar, liar, pants on fire. You want stability in your family? Don't make a judgment call every time church happens. Make a commitment tonight and don't revisit it. I'm just trying to tell you, you want your marriage to be stable? Come to church with your wife. Come to church with your husband. Sit under preaching with your family. You want to have something to talk about over fried chicken and mashed potatoes? And on Monday night at family devotions, have every family member tell what they learned in church. By the way, I'm just dropping it. I've never seen a dedicated church member that prayed, got a hold of God, and approached a superior about not making them work at church where God didn't work it out. Work during church time. I'm just telling you. I know we got medical people. We got law enforcement people. We got some military people. You cannot avoid it. You're serving your country. I'm just simply saying, when your job stands in the way of your church and you get down to your God who told you to go to church, I just believe that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and God can move on that employer to say, I don't know why I'm doing it, but I'm going to change your schedule so you can get to church. Stability for my family. Stability for my favor. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. He didn't say they visit, they stop by, they come through on Christmas and Easter. They dwell in thy house. Blessed are they who've settled down in the house of God. They've been planted in the house of God. Christians who show their face at church are unstable, but Christians who have become committed and faithful to church are stable. Hear people say all the time, I'm not involved in church and I do my own thing. And they're just as unstable as they could possibly be. Too unstable to spot their instability. Stability for your family. Stability for your favor. Stability for your faith. Look what the Bible says. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Listen to me. I know. I'm looking at the news just like you are and thinking, what in the world's going to happen in November? I'm not going to share with you some of my opinions because some of y'all might not agree with me. There's some idiots out there. I'll let you figure out who you think it is. But I'm just trying to tell you, I want to be able to say with confidence that regardless who's in the White House in November, I will still be praising him. I want to be able to say with confidence that regardless of what kind of trends and fads and paradigm shifts come into this country, that 5 years from now, I will still be praising him. And I want to be able to say that my children will still be praising him, and that my marriage will still be praising him. And the Bible said, when I dwell at the house of God, I begin to secure some stability for my family, some stability for my favor, and some stability for my faith. My faith will lift up God, and my faith will last for good. You just can't get around. You can't be a Bible believer and justify not being faithful to church. You can't do it. If all you got is Hebrews 10:25, you can't do it. He said, we exhort one another so much the more. He said, there's something about stabilizing your faith at the church while it's the pillar and ground of the truth. You know why so many people are being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine? They've not been settled, fixed, cemented, and established in the church of the living God. Be careful. Be careful. I'm not talking about electronic church. I'm not talking about don't get out of bed church. I'm not talking about universal church. I'm not talking about Reverend Show Your Face church. I'm talking about the local, visibly organized assembly of baptized believers congregated for the express purpose of glorifying God and reaching a lost and dying world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the local New Testament church. And I'm finding out that many of the people of God will miss church for a sniffle and go to work with pneumonia. Because work matters more than church. Work will not stabilize you, but oh, the church will. Number three, it's a consolation for the soul. It's a catalyst for stability. It's a comfort in stress.
You know, the people of God that come to church are not exempt of difficulty. Look what the Bible says about folks that are in church. They pass through the valley of Baca. The word Baca connotates, if you would, sorrow, pain, weeping, suffering, or tribulation. And there's not a saint of God in the building tonight who hadn't been through the valley of Baca. Sometimes serving God, you find yourself down in a valley. Tribulation, sorrow, pain, suffering. Yea, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. Everybody's been in a valley. He said, but when you're in the house of God, you get deep down in that valley. But the deeper you are in the valley, you take your shovel and you dig up a well. And sometimes it's coming to the house of God that helps you to realize that the deeper you are in your valley, the closer you are to a well. He said, the rain filleth the pools. When the rain dries up with water, the pool dries up with water. God sends down rain to fill it up. I'm telling you, there's nothing like coming in the house of God in the middle of a valley and knowing I'm low, I'm down, I'm discouraged, but in this place are some people, is some praise, is some preaching that will give me a well in my valley and some rain in my pool.
In the church, you can have exchanged struggles by trusting and transferring. Maybe tonight you came to church in a valley. Maybe God brought you to church so you could exchange your valley for a well. And exchange your dry pool for some rain. Have you ever come into the valley and come into the church in a valley and left out with a well? Have you ever walked in church with a dried up pool and let God rain down from heaven? Listen to me. You can't get that from watching an episode of Oprah or from overeating at Golden Corral. But when you come into the house of God, God manages at your lowest points to teach you that in the valley there's a well. And in the dried up pool, there's rain coming from God. Exchange the struggles. How? Encouraging saints. Look at the Bible. They go from strength to strength. One commentator said that word strength to strength could indicate they go from company to company. I told Richard, you did the right thing. Come to church tonight, son. You know what the devil said? You lost your mama, stay home. You can't go from company to company at home. You can't go from room to room to get comfort at home. I read that verse, they go from strength to strength. And it's like I can picture Richard walking in the building, going from company to company. Pastor Moses said, Moses, I'm praying for you. Pastor Jalen said, I'm praying for you. Go past. Mallory, I'm praying for you. Oh, Abby said, I'm praying. Miss Jeff said, I'm praying for you. Marcus and Matt and Marcia said, I'm praying. She's talking. He rocks back. Brother Austin. Brother Austin said, I'm praying for you. Jamaica said, I'm praying. Brother Pastor Mike said, I'm praying. Rachel said, I've been there. I'm praying. Kevin said, I'm praying for you. Nene said, I'm praying for you. Pastor Lou and Sister Danette, they're praying for you. Curtis praying for you. Felton praying for you. Senegal praying for you. Logan praying for you. Dada praying for you. What's your name? Pierre's praying for you. Brutus praying for you. Hartwell's praying for you. Miss Hartwell said, I just watched God show up. Say, my brother, I'm praying for you. Hey, Brother Pastor said, we're praying for you. Brother Lou, we're praying for you. Brother Dunn, we're praying. Ashley praying for you. Praying for you. They go from company to company, from strength to strength. Everywhere you go, somebody encourage you in the church. It is so counterproductive for struggling saints to pull away from church. You ever go through a problem and stay home from church, you're making bad worse. I was there when he walked in the building. He couldn't get in the door without company after company saying, we're praying for you. And all of us have been there. We've been there. They go from strength to strength. That's why I love church. Because there's some people up in there. They're going to help me get through my stress. Come on, you know good and well when you have a problem, the devil tell you, don't you go. You don't want to be dealing with nobody today. You don't want to be looking at nobody, answering questions, asking you what's wrong with you. Your eyes got bags underneath them. You got red eyes. Somebody heard something that happened. You got to explain it and explain it. It's going to make you just think of it over and over. Ain't the devil a liar, a big fat liar? He's a murderer. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And every time you buy that lying riddle, he is robbing you of the fellowship of the believers that cannot be manufactured by anything in a carnal world. I'm telling you, in your lowest moment, get enough strength to put your church clothes on, gas in your tank, jump in your car, and drive to 5811 Hoffman's Lane. Get in that door. There'll be some ushers meet you as a company. There'll be some deacons that'll meet you as a company. There'll be some other people on your pew that will meet you as a company. You'll come to church in a valley and leave with a wail. You'll come to church with a dried up pool and leave with it full of rain. That's why I love church. Wow. Experience strength. I'm closing now. It's a consolation for the soul. It's a catalyst for stability. It's a comfort in stress. But I tell you what church is. It's a chance to serve. David said, I can't do nothing for nobody running from Absalom. He said, but at church, if I ain't doing nothing but watching the door, if I'm just watching the door, it's better to be a doorkeeper at church than a CEO in the world. I'd rather dwell in the courts of God for one day than to live in the tents of wickedness. I'll tell you why I love church. Because it's one place where even though you don't have enough credit to buy a car and a co-signer to help you get one, even though you're renting because you can't afford to purchase, and you don't have enough certifications to land that new job, and you don't have enough education to make what you want to make, and you don't have enough time or money to get your education, you don't qualify for clubs, groups, and other organizations that you'd like to get in out in the world, that at the church you can enter through the same door of the Lord Jesus Christ and you can serve. You can go down to the prison and serve. You can go to the homeless ministry and serve. You can keep babies in the nursery and serve. You can teach a Sunday school class. You can get Brother Hawkins to ride a bus. You can disciple somebody that got saved. You can join a cleanup team. You can go volunteer at the daycare. You can pick up trash around the building. Oh, you stay around here long enough, you can go on a soul winning
bring blitz. You can work on the sound team. You can run the video. You can join the choir. Well, maybe not. You can join the choir. You can play an instrument. I'm just simply saying there's something somewhere in the church where you can serve. I've never bought into the fact that people say they leave church because they couldn't find nothing to do. David said, if all I'm doing is keeping the door, it beats being a bigwig out there. I love church. It's a preference. It's a privilege. It's a perspective. Wow. I come to church, I begin to realize what really ranks in God's kingdom, and who cares what ranks in the world. And it gives a provision. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I was in the hotel room yesterday morning on my knees praying. Praying for all of you. Praying for my family. Praying for my children. Praying for my parents. Praying for 500 some of my friends. And it just like hit me. Like, I pulled up at the church Monday night in Abingdon. You know you're in the country when you park at the church and three horses come running towards you. I mean, like they were just going to run into me. I thought I'm the guest preacher and I'm going to get trampled before I get to the pulpit. There's one other black person in the building, a teenage boy, out of 350 people, I guess. Somebody said, what was that like? Who cares what the color is? We're children of the Most High God. I'm more connected to somebody that's white and saved than I am somebody that's black and lost. But I preached Monday night and went to bed late Monday night. And I got on my knees Tuesday morning and I was praying. And the thought dawned on me. I'm at a city I've never been to with people I never met before. On a Tuesday morning in a city I couldn't find if it wasn't for Orange Star. But I not have to. I get to serve God every day. God didn't just save me from hell and let me get baptized into the local church and let me serve him on a nominal level. He called me to preach, lets me pastor, and then lets me jump in a car, drive five and a half hours by myself and preach to people and watch their lives get changed. Where else could you do that but the church? And God's been good to me. In all these years, driving all over. I've driven more in the last 5 years pastoring than I drove 15 years traveling before I started pastoring. I've never had a flat tire. I've never got stranded on the road. I never broke down. I've never been in danger. All these 5 years I've been all of them, hadn't gotten an accident. I've been in some rough areas at night. I've been in some racist areas. And never came close to getting hurt. At least God didn't tell me. Man, he's taking care of me. He's provided my needs. Listen, I've been all over this country. Do you realize? I've never had, my family's never been hurt while I'm gone. Nobody's ever broken in my house and messed with my wife and kids. He's protected her while I've been on the road. He's preserved our marriage. You understand me? Why in the world would I fall out with the church? When you tell me what you plan on doing? What do you mean what I plan on doing? I'm planning on sticking with the church. Man, this thing ain't broken. Why do I need to fix it? God's taking care of me. Good night, he's taking care of me. I've had people shake my hand with some. I had a little boy come up to me last night and shake my hand with money. And I said, son, $25. He had. And he said,
I said, son, you can't do that. He said, oh, yes, I can't want you. Did your parents know you did? Yes, they told me to do it. And I won't tell you some of the other handshakes I've had. Because it's none of your business. But I remember years ago, a man owned a car dealership. He walked up to me in Oklahoma and said, I've never met you, but my children came home from where you preach. You've invested in my children and I'm investing in you. And he had a check. And he said, make me one promise. You won't tell anybody what I gave you. No good thing will he withhold from them. No good thing will he. We are spoiled. I love church. I love church. Nobody has to make me come. I love coming to see y'all. I love preaching at y'all. I love hearing this choir. I love looking at these ushers. I love this. I love you, Brian. Stop ducking down there. You know you know, stand up. You love me, don't you? I love coming in here to the house of God. Man, I don't want to do it. You've heard me say it. I want to die in the pulpit. It won't be good for y'all, but just dig a well. Okay. I don't want to do anything else. There's something special about you. And I'm not just talking about Crossroads, but there is something special about you. I thank the Lord for it. But you gotta be grounded in church. You gotta be. There's just something special about it. Listen, we've all seen those talented shows and those great singers. Listen to me. There are places all over America you can find better singers in this place. But my heart don't feel like it feels when they sing. Something happens. They get to singing. One of them couldn't make money in the world like Patti LaBelle or Whitney Houston singers gets under there. And instead of getting some gifts of lungs, they get the Spirit of God that touches their voice. And it takes something I went through that the singer doesn't know about. And somehow I get in the pulpit on Sunday morning ready to preach. And somehow at 3 a.m, the Holy Ghost of God said, Pastor Mike, pick that song for the preacher man. And they start singing for me. And it helps me with exactly what I'm dealing with. You can't find that on American Idol. America Got Talent, or Showtime at the who knows. I'm telling you, that happens at the church. Don't miss it. David said it took me getting flushed out of the city to realize just how much I love church. Our Father, thank you. Thank you. Oh, God, help us to love it. To love it because you love it. Jesus, the Bible says he purchased it with the blood of Christ. Thank you for the church. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.